Joining me now on the show today is our guest for the day. He is all ready and waiting and ready to go. I wonder what his thoughts are actually on Spanish football. He is a man who thinks about Milan while masquerading as an Italian journalist in Madrid. I joke, of course, he's a top-class journalist indeed. He is Mr. Frank Tigani, joining us here on World Football Daily to talk all things Italian football from Spain. Frank, how are you doing today, mate? It's a pleasure to have you on board. It's been a long time since a few weeks since we last had you on the show, mate.
Fantastic. It's great to be back.
It must be peculiar for you because in Italy, they're talking about all of the transfers in from Spain. Of course, Napoli purchasing three players so far from Madrid and looking for another one as well in Arbeloa. But in Spain, everybody's talking about England and about Gareth Bale. Which has caught your eye more, the Italian transfer window at the moment or all things Los Blancos?
Well, being in Madrid, it's very hard to avoid the Bale circus. I mean, he hasn't even arrived yet, but it's an absolute circus already. If anyone was reading the paper on Monday, so now we're Friday, but if anyone was reading the paper on Monday here in Madrid, you probably would have been convinced that Bale would have been a Real Madrid player by Monday afternoon, because basically it's become a story where here in Spain, all the papers are saying it's going to happen. It's going to happen anytime now. But of course, it's not as easy as that. It's not as... it's a little bit more complicated than what they're saying here in the papers, for sure.
It seems that to me that the Spanish press have weighed in quite a lot. There's been a number of quotes that have appeared in publications like Marca, of course, and that Bale saying, I want to leave. And only in England in the last few days has Bale actually said, according to the press, that he actually wants to leave and go to Madrid. How much are the Spanish press trying to influence this move and get Bale in Spain, do you think?
You're spot on. I mean, this is they're doing this on purpose. This is the Spanish press, in particular. This is the Madrid press. We all know what the Madrid press can be like when they turn against a single player from Madrid or a single coach, like we saw with Mourinho. There was a campaign against Mourinho for quite a few months last season. So what we're sort of seeing here is a similar thing. It's a campaign, but this time it's in pursuit of Madrid's next Galactico. It's definitely an intentional sort of campaign to try to make the story and make it sort of come true after, if you know what I mean.
Madrid, it's difficult to turn down Real Madrid, the history of the club and everything. And I know, Frank, we've got you on to talk Italian football and we're already getting caught up in this Gareth Bale hysteria that's just swept Europe for the last few days. But Madrid, surely, are they going to get their man? I mean, is this just a case of inevitability now, but with Bale should be in Spain by the end of August?
Well, I mean, in my own personal opinion, I think they probably will get him in the end. I mean, they are offering, if we are to believe the papers, they're offering something in the figure of 120 million euros for Bale, which is an absurd amount of money considering he'll become the most expensive transfer in all time, but hardly one of the best players yet, at least, of all time. But I think eventually they probably will get their man. Real Madrid, like you just said, it's a club that it's very difficult for any player to turn down. So if they come knocking on the door, I think Bale is going to sort of jump ship. He's already refused to go to training and travel with his team to Monaco for a friendly. So it looks like he is intent on coming to Madrid. And if they're offering the money that they are, that we are to believe, then I can't see it sort of not happening. But there are sort of other complications as well, because Bale is in England, at least, he has a contract with British Telecom and EA Sports for his image rights. And so, even though he can break these contracts, even though it's not going to put the transfer to a halt completely, these are things that he need to be sort of sorted out before he does leave for Madrid.
There's plenty of issues outside of football, of course, and you've got agents that are going to be interfering and complicating everything with the contract negotiations as well, I'm sure. Frank, we have you on as well, though, of course, to talk Italian football. This is why we want you today to enlighten us about your predictions for the start of the Italian season. The fixtures came out. What stood out for you in terms of the fixtures? Because we've got some big games coming up in the last few weeks of the season, haven't we?
We do. With the fixture list, it is what it is, and every club is just going to have to deal with it. And even though they all like to maybe complain here and there about the fixtures and their timing, it is what it is. And I think sort of over the course of the season, it sort of all sort of equals out. But it's definitely going to be an exciting campaign. You know, I think with Napoli, Fiorentina bolstering their squads quite by somewhat this summer, I think Juventus are going to be given a good run for their money. They've been very good, Juventus. They've been clearly the best team in Italy for the last two seasons. But I think this year, more so than the last 2 years, we're going to see a couple of teams sort of push them a little bit further.
Fiorentina at the moment, a lot of talk about Adam Ljajic, who could potentially be off on his way out of Alla Viola if he doesn't extend his contract with the club. How do you see this one going? Because how big a loss as well would he be, especially with the club having already lost Jovetic?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, they lost Jovetic, and I'm not sure if anyone saw the game that he played for against Milan the other day. He definitely looks impressive, and he's strong as well. Jovetic is a strong player, so I think he's going to do very well in the Premier League. But he's definitely a big loss for them. Last time I was on the show, I said Mario Gomez was going to sort of help fill the shoes there. Giuseppe Rossi, it will be like a new signing this year after his almost 2 years absence from the game. And then they've also got Ilicic as well. So they signed Ilicic from Palermo, who's a player in the sort of the same ilk as Lalic. I think that they'll miss Lalic, no doubt, but I still think they've got the attacking talent to sort of to go forward. Just today, Lalic, there's been an offer from Milan for Lalic as well. So, you know, perhaps if he does leave, Milan might be his destination.
Do you think he will extend his contract, or do you think it's more likely that he'll look for pastures new?
Yeah, well, if anyone's reading the Italian paper today, you probably would get the feeling that Lalic is actually keen on a move to Milan. You know, Fiorentina, obviously they've improved their squad somewhat this year, and they're going to have a good season for sure. But and even though Milan are not in the best of times at the moment, I think he's angling for a move there, according to the Italian press, at least anyway.
Milan haven't really spent too much. They've brought in Christian Zapata, really, which has been arguably the biggest move so far of the season. But with Lacic and with Honda as well, trying to make some slightly later moves as we head towards the early part of the season in the transfer market and tie down an extra bit of talent and depth. How important is that going to be for a Milan side that struggled early on last season but seemed to get everything right in the second half of the year?
Yeah, they did get everything right in the second half of the year. They did extremely well. But watching their preseason games so far this summer, one gets the feeling that they lack a bit of depth still. You know, Mexis and Zapata make a good pairing, central defensive pairing. But if anyone saw their game against Manchester City the other day, it was an absolute farce. And even against São Paulo yesterday, they did win 1-0, but there were lots of defensive errors committed by the young Vergara, who's a young Colombian teenager he's rated very highly in his home country. And but given that, you know, there's Vergara and Bonera as backups and Zaccardo as well, there's not a lot of depth there if, you know, Zapata or Mexes pick up an injury during the season. So they definitely need some more depth at the back there. I think, you know, in the attack, they look probably the best. They've got Balotelli and El-Shaarawy, and El-Shaarawy is scoring goals and looking good again this preseason. So that's a good sign. And Niang also is looking much better as well. So, you know, if anything, they probably need to sort of, you know, add a bit of quality to the midfield or defence, but they're going for Lalic, so...
It's obviously very surprising to see the Italian sides. Obviously, there's so much stigmatism associated with Catenaccio's style of play and being able to lock down the defence. And as you say, seeing AC Milan concede 5 against Manchester City was a bit of a shock. How much of the Italian press have they been shocked by it? Because are they worried at this moment in time? Because Italian football, of course, as I say, renowned for its defensive stability, but we are only talking pre-season as well. There's not too much riding on these games, of course.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking pre-season, but all this talk of Catenaccio, I mean, you know, it was in the 90s where Italian teams were extremely difficult to score a goal against. But, you know, I think we've seen that, like, the last, you know, going back almost 8 years now, and maybe to the round to the year of Calciopoli, we've seen Italian defences, you know, being open quite easily at times. Roma versus Manchester United in the Champions League, I think they lost 8-1 or something. I think it was 8-1, the scoreline. So, you know, we've seen Italian teams ship goals in recent years. And I think the talk of Catenaccio, Italy's a very tactical league, still very tactical league. They still play football like it's a game of chess. But as far as being like defensively minded, it's not the way it used to be. Especially also, I think this is a consequence of the quality of defenders they're producing anymore. You know, Chiellini, Bonucci, these are great defenders, but they're no Baresis or Maldinis.
Now, you mentioned Stefan El-Shaarawy and looking good in the preseason, and he and Balotelli had a very nice partnership at the end of last year. El-Shaarawy was the golden boy in the first half of the season, then seemed willing to step back slightly and let Balotelli, bang the goals in and be that main target man for AC Milan. How important is their relationship for Milan going forward in the future? Because Balotelli's obviously a very volatile guy, and Shaarawy, after having the limelight and then conceding that limelight, if you will, in the second half of the season, is he going to be affected by that at all? Is he maybe going to want to step back into the spotlight again?
Yeah, it's a good question. The Balotelli and El Shaarawy are very good friends off the field. But on the field, they did sort of link up fairly good. But it has to be noted that El Shaarawy only scored one goal in his last 20 games for Milan and Italy in his last 20 games. He's only scored one goal. So the goals really did drop for him when Balotelli did arrive. Balotelli started putting them away when he returned to Italy from Manchester. I think they still need to work in that relationship. As far as the personalities of the players are concerned, El Shaarawy, despite his haircut, he's very sort of down to earth young lad. His haircut is outrageous. But Balotelli, obviously, I think Balotelli, we all know what he's like, but I think he's shown signs of maturity since arriving at Milan. This is the club he wants to play for. This is the club he supported as a player. Even when he was at Inter, he used to wear Milan socks to training sometimes, it was heard. So I think he's happy in Milan, and he's the big man on campus for sure. El Shaarawy, I don't think he craves the attention like Balotelli does. I don't think he's going to, he's not the type to cause controversy just to get the headlines, just to make sure he does. That's what Balotelli does exceptionally well, so I don't think personality-wise they're going to have problems on the field or off the field. I think if anything, we just need to see a bit more evidence that they can get the best out of each other on the field.
Are we going to see with obviously we mentioned Napoli earlier, and they've done a lot of spending this summer, as have a few other clubs in Serie A. But are we going to see maybe a flurry of transfers as we get towards the start of the new season? Or is Italian football spending this summer pretty much wrapped up? A lot of business seems to have been done very early, and there hasn't been too much major business taking place away from Napoli and Juventus, really.
No, I mean, there hasn't been too much movement. I think, Italian football, I mean, they are spending money, the clubs. It's probably more sort of spread out compared to leagues like La Liga, for example. They are spending money, just not making the big moves. We had some big moves come in earlier in the transfer market, Llorente and Tevez. Mm. To Juventus. I think we're still going to see transfers sort of up until the last minute, especially Milan, talking of Milan, because they're not spending very much money. And there are other clubs in a similar situation to Milan that, sort of be tight with their money at the moment. And so what these clubs will do is they'll look for sort of last minute, 11th hour transfer bargains, if you like. Milan, a couple of seasons ago, got Nocerino for less than $1 million at the 11th, in the last minute of the transfer market. And so I think we might see deals like this sort of come to fruition as the transfer market draws to a close. So I think there's still movement to come. I think there's still some transfers to still be made in the Serie A up until the last day, yeah.
And just finally, Napoli have had a pretty nice start to their club friendlies so far, two wins so far. They've got the Emirates Cup coming up this weekend. And how important against these big sides in a tournament that's reasonably well regarded in terms of pre-season friendlies, how important will Rafa Benitez take this? Especially, it'd be nice for him on a personal note to get one over Arsenal, to get one over Didier Drogba, of course, from his Chelsea days, even though he's playing at Galatasaray now. Will Napoli be going out and have maybe a little bit more urgency, a little more fire in their belly for this tournament, even though it's a friendly tournament this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, this is the thing. When it comes to friendly matches, I think all big teams, when they do meet each other, I think there is, enough pride that they sort of do take it a little bit seriously, or at least they should. And I think normally they do. Given Rafa Benitez's history in England, I think definitely he's going to go into this sort of competition, this little pre-season competition with something to prove. For sure. In addition, Napoli have brought in some, big players. Higuain is a big player this year. And they're probably going to fancy their chances for a tilt at the Scudetto. So I think they're going to use this as, as a good test to see, where they are in terms of developing as a team. Because obviously, yes, they've got some good players, some very good players coming into the squad, but they have to mix and gel and become a team now. That's the job at hand now. And I think Rafa Benitez will definitely use this cup to try to get his team playing on the same wavelength. So I think they're going to take it seriously.
I guess in the same way that we saw Roma taking the MLS All-Star game extremely seriously under new manager Rudy Garcia as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think we spoke about this last time, but you know, the Roma Trojic is very interesting. Roma did beat Galaxy 3-1 yesterday, and Roma beat the All Stars 3-1. So I think it's a good result for Roma, and they definitely take that game seriously. And I think they probably were sort of a little bit motivated because the whole crowd was against them. There was barely any Roma supporters in the crowd. So I think, you know, when you're in that kind of atmosphere, you probably, well, you know, feel like you have something to prove. And they definitely did prove something. A 3-1 result, they were winning 3-0 at one stage. And definitely, it's impressive. Kevin Strootman, recent signing from PSV, had an absolute great game, absolutely great game. And he started, curiously, instead of De Rossi.
Interesting. Is the future looking bright for Roma with the... obviously, there was so much expected of them at the start of last season. I personally had them down to be a side who'd be battling for the Champions League football at come the end of the season, and wasn't to be the case in any way, shape or form. They had a bit of a sloppy year. Is it going to all come right for Roma this season, do you think?
I really hope so. And I think it may be, you know, third time lucky. The first year with this sort of with the new project that's going on there with the American management. The first year with Luis Enrique, you know, there was a good decision, I still think, to bring him in, given his history at Barcelona. Zdeněk Zeman was a bit of a gamble, I think. We all know that his teams are fantastic going forward, but defensively they conceded lots of goals. And Roma conceded goals by the buckloads last season. So I think Rudy Garcia, you know, is a little bit sort of in between. He's not so idealistic, a little bit more of a realist, pragmatist when it comes to coaching. And I think his style will suit Roma for this year. So I think it might be third time lucky with Rudy Garcia.
I'm sure that'll please the Roma fans, Frank, as we head into the new Italian season just a few weeks away now. Frank, thank you so much for joining us here on World Football Daily today to give us another run through of some of the thoughts and some of the sights from the Italian transfer window and some of the pre-season friendlies that are coming our way in the next few days as well, mate.
My pleasure.
Thanks so much, Frank. And I tell you what, we'll get you back on before the start of the season because I want to get your predictions on a top six in Italy and who's going to finish where once we know what these teams are going to look like going into the new season.
Fantastic. Look forward to it.
Cheers. Thank you so much for joining us. Take care. Frank Tigiani joining us here on World Football Daily to talk all things Italian football. And after catching up with Frank...